This is Board Time 5 February.
Before we get started, we're going to do some action here. One of you guys want to make the motion? I have to do with the appeal on the center comp plan.
Yeah, I'm happy to. We had sent a letter. Commenting on a proposed comp plan amendment by City of La Center that was inconsistent with the county's comprehensive plan, as well as our countywide planning policies and GMA requirements. They moved forward and adopted the comp plan amendment anyway. And so the motion would be to authorize the PA's office to move forward with an appeal of La Center's adopted comp plan amendment as it is inconsistent.
And I second that motion.
We're moving to second that we give direction to our legal staff to move forward on the appeal of the adopted comp plan of the center. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right.
Okay. Moving on to the agenda. Very thin. It's almost reminiscent of last night's hearing, the 21-minute thing.
That's good.
The only item I have is that Peggy McCarthy, she's the executive director of NAMI, that's a national
association.
Yeah, Association for Mental Illness. She had previously asked the board if we could help her secure some space for her operation because they were forced to move out of their previous space. We declined that offer, and they have secured other space. But apparently there is a thing in May called NAMI Walks, and they are soliciting sponsorships from various governmental jurisdictions in the region, and a number of counties have already committed $500 towards sponsorship of that walk, and she is asking whether Clark County would contribute $500 in sponsorship.
Other counties have? Have we done this in the past?
No, this is a first time request.
Can I speak?
I just have a concern of a fragile budget with a whole bunch over our head right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is a case also of if you sponsor one, you'll have a line at the door asking for additional sponsorship.
While we want to help when we can, I would be more prone to give them some of our empty office space. It doesn't sound like they need that.
Yeah, I think it's not a question of it being a good cause. There are a lot of good causes here. And the citizens and the businesses and the organizations in our community ought to support good causes. But that's not our role directly to do that. We're to provide the essential services that that non-government services.
Park in the past.
Pardon?
Their walk is gone. Vancouver Parks and Rec used to do their walk at that.
Yeah, at least I don't remember since I've been here us funding that walk. That's one of their fundraising events that they hold. But we would fund Vancouver Clark Parks and
Yeah,
exactly. But I don't remember us giving money to the foundation or something for their walk.
Okay, so I'll take that's a no then. Okay. This isn't on the agenda, but I'd just like to share with Commissioner Stewart. I already talked to you about this, but Commissioner Mielke and I made a trip over to the Center for Community Health at lunchtime to meet with our employees and to share our concern with the events of yesterday and that we're concerned for their safety and. We gave them an opportunity to speak. We heard half a dozen times from various staff that law enforcement responded in a magnificent way. They were on site very, very rapidly. They were they treated our employees with respect and were very professional. And so as we learn more about things, we will get the jurisdiction. We had apparently Battleground Police, Ridgefield Police, State Patrol, VPD and Clark County Sheriff all involved.
And FBI.
And the FBI as well, because it's a federal installation. So I think that we'll have Axel put together some kind of letter acknowledging their swift and professional response and just thank them for their work. That's okay.
And we shared back with those employees that the police officers were talking about how professional and calm at the time our employees were. Right. And we shared that back with them as we met with them.
Yeah, and apparently employees are offering up suggestions through the safety committee process, and Mark Wilson and Laura Danos will, and Bill Springmeier will have a meeting on Friday to collect all of that information, and we will likely have physical improvements to make in the building, doors that don't lock that maybe should, barriers that can be put in place quickly to protect people, maybe put up plexiglass in certain places, and so we'll be moving ahead with that.
I think there's some kind of a contest going on as to which department or which floor could have the most suggestions. We started off at the fourth floor, and they had 16.
Nice.
Written down. But, you know, I
that's good.
When we walked in the door, I saw the need for us to be there. I you probably saw it, too.
No, yes.
And
they swarmed us.
I wasn't sure that was going to be the case, but it was really needed that we were there, that we gave them support. Let them know that we were concerned. We were looking forward to their suggestions. We traded back with them to... and the fourth floor was the one that about a month ago did a scenario of just such a thing, and they had a safe room already designated.
Yep. Yeah, so they were ready.
But they were the only one. They kind of did it on their own. So that was impressive. But we also shared back with them times like this that they need to be more aware of their co-workers as to somebody might have trouble at home, and console with them, talk to them, let them know that we have that help here, that they're not in it alone. And so many times in the past we've had cases like this. Let them know that if you have a real issue at home and it's affecting your work, please go home and take care of it, knowing that you don't have to worry about your work part of it. And so we want to let them know that was there for them.
It's great that you guys did that. That's excellent.
And
thanks
for
doing that, Tom.
I was going to head over this afternoon, but Francine Rice and Mary Keltz strongly suggested that we go over at lunchtime, and so we did. So I want to just thank them for pushing that issue.
Mm-hmm.
I also sent out a countywide message, just sharing our concern, and I'm getting all kinds of responses from people. I mentioned the one from Bill Wright.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that a little.
Sure. Okay. So anyway, I have a 4:30 telephonic interview with the Columbian on that event.
So certainly a letter, it sounds like, is appropriate. What I'm thinking is that it may be, just toss out an idea here, appropriate also for us to have a public recognition of not only the law enforcement that performed heroically, but wasn't there an individual who disarmed the gal and wrestled her to the ground and held her?
Be
recognized that heroic.
But it's amazing that we did.
Role.
We had more than one person that ran to the noise and stepped away from it. One was, I understand, was a VA employee, ex-Marine. He's the first one to tackle her. And immediately coming right to the door was our own security people that had her handcuffed just that quick.
So to recognize that heroism, that this is an opportunity for us in our public proclamation or process or that time or something, as an idea for us to be able to recognize that. That's heroic.
And we also
got that?
Shared with them, this was a targeted incident, and that was not random.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No. Yeah, and it wasn't targeted at government or something. You know, this was something specific. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'll work on that stuff. Obviously, it happened yesterday, so we still have a lot of stuff to process through. But over the next week, we'll work on kind of thing. I was there too. I thought to put a plug in for Mark, he did a good job. It's a tough situation to go over and do.
Mm-hmm.
In such a short amount of time, but I did a good job talking to the employees.
I was really impressed that just shortly after RTC started, we had a written response that explained everything that had happened there, at least the basics.
That was very awesome.
In hand. That was
impressive.
Our incident response is amazing as far as, you know, how they tie in CCSO working with, you know, VPD, working with CRESA, working with, you know, FBI immediately. I mean, the incident command that they set up is immediate and it's impressive. They do amazing work.
And the victim is more serious than we thought.
Yes. Yes.
Two shots. Yeah,
initially, we thought the injuries weren't life-threatening, but they were indeed. A chest wound, close to the heart.
Very, very close. So it was critical. So.
So okay. And as more information comes to light, we'll certainly share it with you. Okay, well, that exhausts that portion of the agenda, and we're on to commissioner reports, if there are any.
I want to start off by recognizing and congratulating Kelly. He's going to be leaving us.
Yeah.
He has a newfound promotion. He's going to be in charge of all of parking in Portland.
Not the enforcement side.
You hand out the parking permits, right?
The policy part.
So, well, congratulations on that.
No doubt.
His last day here is the 18th.
Correct.
And I want to publicly thank you for all that you've done and the information you've done and the task that you've taken on for us. It was appreciated.
How many years?
Almost 13 and a half, not quite. 7 commissioners and
you got here right
the same number of policies.
Right before I did then.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations on that. Securing a fantastic
job. What did you do before, Cal, before working for the board? Did you split?
Well, a whole career. So California.
No, but I mean, you've been here for 13 years, and you said you split time doing two different things.
Oh yeah. So I originally came on as the policy assistant.
Well, that's right. You were kind of my position. Then you took economic.
Then I came in and worked one day, and Bill said, "Now you're the economic development manager." Okay.
So. Yes, sir.
So
it's a long time.
With that being said,
I'm good.
You're good.
Yeah, policy.
Yeah, he's got to do over in about 2 minutes.
That policy?
Yeah. We should talk more about that. That's
about which?
Apparently, I've been breaking our rules, and I would guess that you have as well. With the
same on me.
Exactly. Apparently, we are not.
Did I get some credit there?
Employees, right? You very well may. That there is a policy against employees carrying.
Carrying.
Uh-huh.
So I shouldn't be arguing with you gentlemen then.
And I did not know
Harry,
that.
I'm sorry. I probably won't be able to stop this.
And so the question is, so I did not know that there was a policy against concealed carry or anything. So
Carrying.
Okay. No, sorry.
So how about this? How about we pull that policy and get.
Well, I never think it's good to do it in response to it, because it shouldn't be in that vein. It's just, you know, that's a right and responsibility that, you know, that I think we should at least talk about.
Sure.
You know, and then what kind of HR would be necessary to make sure that people, you know, that we're doing it in the right way that is responsible. You know,
we recognize the gentleman came up here that was open carrying down here.
Yeah.
And everybody kind of panicked about it because he was going to come up here and testify. And we said,
right.
No, and the gentleman is legitimate. He's a concealed carry. The incident he had down here was someone saw something that when his jacket was open. And he came up and they wanted to know if we wanted policemen and all that. I said, no. And the calming, and the guy was articulate. He was smart. Him and his wife were concealed carries. Explained why, and it was really an educating type thing.
And I guess that would be the question: is if citizens have the right to carry, whether open carry or concealed carry, as they do their business, then why wouldn't our employees?
I mean,
and not because somehow that they would be at risk because of that, but simply because just to ensure, you know, that we all share, you know, equal rights.
So we had something similar in Olympia, it was like, don't ask, don't tell.
Dude, I didn't see Pam. I don't remember I ever seeing Pam Roach with that one. So,
I mean,
I know. She didn't need it, man. She scared me enough as is. She didn't need it back.
I know it. I know it. So I think that we could discuss it. I appreciate the fact that we recognize those entitlements and the constitutional right to do that. And it's one of the things that we've had a pretty open thing here, and I think that I've never had to feel threatened, even though we've had some threatening things, but I was never threatened.
So I would expect that the response, the appropriate response here would be if you can get us copies of the of that policy that addresses this.
Yeah. Just talk with HR about how might we address it, or
And change that policy.
That's what I'm saying.
Changing it,
but how might we change it? Like HR and Mark can suggest how to change it, because inevitably there would be need to be, you need to talk to employees about okay, if you're this is the change. B, this is your responsibilities with that, because with every right comes responsibilities, and we all owe that to each other.
Very well put.
Anyway,
so it's amazing, but I had two occasions that remarks was made to me, and I was caught off guard because they said, "Too bad we're not allowed to carry," and I was caught off guard by that.
Yeah, I'd never heard that. I mean, until they said it today, I was like, "Really?"
I heard from two employees.
That's why it came. Yeah, because I was not aware of that.
We might just want to involve the prosecuting attorney's office in that.
Yes, no, definitely.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I think they participated in the formulation of the current policy. So yeah. Okay.
Cool.
So that's an action item.
That's all. Right.
Okay.
Holly.
I'm good.
Working. Man, short timer. The guy's short timer.
Yeah, he just smiles in here.
Exactly. I've been around the table. Axel, do you got anything?
I promised Jennifer I'd bring David Meyer, who you're scheduled to finish up your clean water interviews on Thursday. He's out of town all week on business. He requested that you interview him, or could he get an interview date next week? Do you want to do that or not?
I'm
just going to delay maybe the appointment.
David Myers, Clean Water Commission. He's the additional interview that we're doing for Clean Water Commission.
We were kind of looking for another
on Thursday.
Person.
We each checked.
Mm-hmm. That's the guy.
So somebody invited him?
Yeah.
Put him on the list?
She definitely did. No one of us asked. We got the books. We sent them back. And when she had two that said a name on it, then she invited that person.
Just said, you pick somebody, one more
person. For an interview.
We... You should have had a book where you
we did, and we selected one more name.
There you go, exactly. So if you had a name, then he had names, I had names, or put one or two, and then she looked for, are there two of you who said somebody? And apparently he's it. He's the person that two of us said, let's interview.
It is following process.
Yeah, yeah.
The books came back, we put the names on, and went back, and
he just can't make the interview on Thursday.
He needs
a date next week. Okay,
sure.
That's what I was.
Hey, Kel, if the floor is open, did you want to talk about your strategy focusing on freeholder before you leave?
Well, I covered that with the board just one-on-one.
Already? Okay, good.
Generally speaking, I think the board of freeholders, because they're really in the early stages of developing the charter, with what time I have left, it would be best spent trying to get ahead of the curve and anticipate some of the primary charter elements and have those in place so that down the path, whoever they may have helping them, at least they'll have a foundation for, you might say, plug and play, so they can take pieces that they want and put it in, and I'll have those prepared in at least a rough format, and that will help them not have to recreate the wheel if they have a new person come on board.
So are you going to equip them with what they need, and then they can, I expect, take it from there?
Think of it like putting a range of options on the shelf, and whichever option they want, there will be a rough draft for that option.
Okay. There's some very capable talent there. So.
Oh, yeah. They have micro group.
Access to resources as well.
Yep.
Okay.
I was interested in my North County newspaper I got delivered to me in my mailbox. there was an article in there, and I was kind of proud of the way the freeholders have come around and are reasoning with and changing position by deliberating and communicating with one another. So I was impressed by that.
Yeah.
They haven't got there all the way, but they've really come around to it.
They're great work.
And I was hoping that as different people went in there with different agendas, that they would realize the responsibility that was upon them and said, take a step back and say, wow, people are counting on me to do something. So, and I saw that. Unless the article was wrong.
Was it wrong, Tyler?
What's that? No.
Freeholder article.
I don't know. They're covering the freeholders.
Nice.
I forgot who wrote the article.
It was in the North County. Aaron Middleton.
So that board's got some good leadership in Nan, right?
I think so.
That's pretty great.
Pretty impressive.
And I think Kelly's done a great job of getting them ramped up on concepts. And
so, and we were talking about that, Kelly and I. Kelly has been a good resource, and at the very, very least, we have to have some kind of a liaison there. Kelly's not here, so.
Yeah.
Well, we do have Holly, and we do have Christine Cook, so we're not absent county representation.
I saw Axel crawling underneath the table.
Axel's pointing his upper shirt.
That's right.
In every direction but this way.
My time to hit the little boys' room.
Holly is one of the most professional people I've ever met in my life.
Axel, do you have anything?
No. One do-over, though, just you guys already know this, but sometimes it's good to think about it out loud and talk about it, but we're supposed to get some really nasty weather maybe as early as tomorrow. We might want to think through that a little bit out loud.
Yeah, Heath and I are...
Protocols or whatever.
Yeah. Heath Henderson is the guy that he gets up and he gets road reports from his crews.
Well, then you're going to be calling him, I assume, if there's anything to shut down or anything like that. You'll call
complete
Tom, paper. Right?
Yeah, 4:30.
That's usually what happens.
Yeah, Heath will call me, and then if you know, even in 2003, was it 3 or 4? We had a brutal ice storm, and we shut down then. That's the only time we've shut down in my 13 years here.
I think it's anticipated. Saturday, maybe early Saturday is the last.
Actually, Cresta sent out an update, and it looks like there'll be some snow on Thursday. There'll be some snow on Friday.
Oh, yeah, I knew that about that.
And Saturday, snow will turn into ice. Ice will continue into Sunday, and then temperatures rise, and we get rain. So then maybe by Monday we'll be back to normal. Well, that kind of shoots the Portland Auto Show.
But anything you need to talk through, right, just go talk to Tom. I mean, he's our chair, and that's the protocol, is that if you've got an issue and you want to run it by someone, call this guy.
If I think we ought to close, I will definitely confer with the chair of the board.
Anything else behind that? I really want to know
that way.
There is a little bit.
Anything less than 6?
Anything more than 6 inches.
Okay. Yeah, all right. So I'll get my room.
They'll start earlier to come to work.
The bad weather day is Saturday.
Yeah.
Like I said, check the update that Cresta sent out. They're backing it up.
Are they going to be open for a phone call early Saturday morning so I can
to come out of
the
Youth Commission retreat on Saturday?
Do you
have anything? Who? Cresta? The freeholders meet here by
Saturday.
Who's going to be open?
Are they going to be open?
Who would I get the best update from?
Kelly was the keeper.
At like 7 a.m.
Hey, Kelly.
You were working on our list here, and I have the old list. Did you have the old list when you put this together?
The old projects list from the retreat.
I just happened to have one.
The old one from like last year, kind of thing.
Tina has it. I got a copy from Tina.
So you got from her when you put this one together.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I was going to give this to you if you didn't have it.
So who's going to be the keeper of the project list then?
Kelly's putting his little list of responsibilities together, and then we have to come up with an interim proposal on who can sit in that chair and possibly how to split duties. You know, I got capability in Marlia Jenkins. It may be that we put somebody in that chair and out of class capacity while we. I have to put together a vacancy review request to ask you three whether or not I can replace him.
Yeah. We wanted to replace him a long time ago, but we haven't figured out what he's been doing.
So you're going to come back to us with a proposal?
Yeah,
cool.
Yes.
Cool.
Probably next week. Okay, moving on to vacancy requests.
Yes, sir.
Okay, to talk about those. We have three new ones this week. Two are public health nurses. That's the bread and butter of the public health department. One is funded with federal vaccine grant dollars to the tune of 90%, 10% general fund. But this is to help manage our vaccination program, and I really think we need to continue doing that. So
Which one are we talking about?
This one?
I have reviewed that, and
okay.
I don't have a problem with that one.
Yeah, so, me too. I look at that, and it says, would not be able to meet contractual requirements if this position wasn't filled. This 90% grant funded. Why don't we just give them the green light on that one?
Mm-hmm. Okay, good to go on that.
Okay.
Okay, the next one is responsible for communicable disease and tuberculosis surveillance and response. Once again, pretty important program.
Yeah. Required by the Washington Administrative Code,
I was just about to get to that part.
Yeah,
and this is funded 50% by the general fund, but we get federal and state grants as well.
So, okay, just to say yes now?
I recognize it's early, but I think it's something that we need to go out and have someone come in and probably introduce.
Because they want to, if they get approval, they want to start recruitment, so to minimize vacancy.
So, count it as a done yes?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then Commissioner Madure, I think you got a rubber stamp for this one. This is a traffic control technician.
Rob Klug. All you got to say is, it's Rob Klug.
Oh.
See? There you go.
Yeah. So these are the folks.
And it's road fund.
So he does centerline striping and edge line striping and traffic control devices.
I'm more concerned about that portion because, you know, 2 years ago I was replacing every signal traffic light with LEDs.
Yeah.
And our maintenance is next to zero.
And then
but this is other signs also.
Correct.
Yeah. And road striping.
Yeah.
It's the versatile one and needs to be filled.
Yep. Yep. And we want Heath to succeed. So
green light done?
We want everybody to succeed.
Yes, Heath in particular. Okay, now the two fun ones. Last week we talked about HR. Francine Rice has asked for 1.5 FTE.
To replace a 2.6 vacancy?
Correct. We came back and said we'd try to make do with one, and now we're saying if we can just get the half to do self-insured medical, that we'll ride with that, and if we subsequently determine that we need to ask for the one, we'll come back.
Mm-hmm.
And then Commissioner Madure and I met with Mark Gassaway to talk about doing a little performance review on HR.
Okay.
Francine is receptive to that.
Great.
So
great.
All right. Approval to do the 0.5?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that exhausts my list of things.
Great.
Anything for the good of the order? If not, we're done.
Okay.
A new record?
You're 5 minutes late, man. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
That's only if 3:30 was the end point. I think we've moved the end point to like 4, so you're still early.
The door held me up.
Yeah, exactly.
No, you're exactly.